And at this time, I'd like to introduce our final guest for the evening. Dr. Jessica Young is a professor at Western Colorado University and a more than 30-year researcher on the Gunnison sage grouse. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us tonight here on Community Matters.
Christopher and Chris, I'm delighted. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Please call in with your questions for Dr. Jessica Young, 970-349-7444. For those who don't know about the Gunnison sage grouse, it is a species that is specific to this region. Dr. Young's research helped to establish the Gunnison sage grouse as a new species, but it is very rare and under threat. So, and you may have seen in the news recently that Gunnison sage grouse numbers are, I believe, at their all-time low. Why are Gunnison sage grouse numbers falling so precipitously, Dr. Young?
It's definitely been a tough 3 or 4 years for the Gunnison sage grouse. There's a lot of factors that can reduce the numbers, but as you all, I'm sure, remember, we had one of the toughest winters ever, right? 2 years ago. The year before that was one of the most significant droughts. This year has been really unusually dry, very tough for the young chicks as they first hatch out and look for insects to eat right away and need a little bit of cover from the grasses and the forbs. And so weather alone can have a huge impact on grouse numbers. They cycle up and down across time, but it is striking. We are seeing right now the way that you estimate populations with the Gunnison sage grouse is that you go out and you count their leks in the spring, which is quite an adventure. You go out there in March, early in the morning, once every 10 days through 4 different count periods. You get a high male count, you get a population estimate from that. And we know since they cycle that we take 3-year averages, but the 3-year average this year for the Gunnison sage grouse population is the lowest that's ever been seen since they were counted regularly and accurately by the Colorado Parks and Wildlife since 1996. So it's really of grave concern.
Jessica, I have some question about how the formulas are done, though. You know, sometimes there's variance in the formulas with high male count. Could that account for any of this?
Yeah, so that's one reason they take that 3-year average, Chris, is that there can be variance, or is variance, with grouse in general. They kind of go up and down every 7 or 10 years generally. This has been an unusual plummet for the last 4 years, and again is really of grave concern. So the counts themselves, there's 2 different ways that the populations are estimated in the Gunnison Basin.
Right.
One is derived from a formula used in the local working group's plan that was started in 1995 and published in 1997. The other is a range-wide formula. The 2 formulas together find that somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 Gunnison sage grouse are left in the world. Wow. Almost 90% of those are right here in our backyard. That puts a pretty big responsibility on us.
I have a follow-up question about that later, but you know, we have a lot of stakeholders who are involved in conservation efforts. And then yet you have, you know, the base population here, and then you have these satellite populations. I guess this is a combination question. With so many people involved, who's doing it right? Who needs to do it better? And is it realistic to think that these satellite populations can be saved? Maybe we should be putting our effort just towards the Gunnison population?
Boy, that's a great question and one conservation biologists struggle with. So 2 things is that some of the satellite populations have become critically imperiled. Mm-hmm. 4 of them had less than 10 adult males counted this year. One of them for 2 years has had 0. What the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is the agency since 2014, when the grouse was listed as threatened, do when they consider these is they look at 3 real factors: resilience, redundancy, and replication, basically, of the populations. So what they're looking at is with these 7 populations that remain, is there enough genetic diversity within them, across them? in case that there is disease that hits a species within any given population, are the numbers high enough so they can resist a fire through part of their habitat, right? The scattering of the populations themselves helps with sort of the redundancy and distribution of the species. So if you don't take care of all seven of the remaining populations, you lose one of those factors. And it's a challenge.
The question I have, though, is, you know, with the transplanting of males to these satellite populations, I always feel like they're going to their peril.
That's a great question. And it's one that I have also put caution out as a biologist and concern about, is what number of males should we have in the Gunnison Valley that allows then the Fish and Wildlife Service, along with consultation with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, move males to these other populations. I can tell you the challenge that they're facing is, so the males are attracted to historic sites that they have been going to for decades. When you lose those historic sites, the males might display in more vulnerable places. The females may not know where to nest. So if a population goes down to zero, the historic knowledge that can be passed on between the males and the females and the next generation is lost. It makes it much more hard or much more difficult to reestablish a population. So these are the hard decisions that the Fish and Wildlife Service biologists have to be considering when they say yes or no to what communities are asking.
I understand. Thank you.
This is Community Matters on KBUT. If you have a question for Gunnison Sage Grouse researcher and scientist Dr. Jessica Young, please do call now. Only a few minutes left. 970-349-7444. Dr. Young, we know because of conversations that we hear around a lot of species going extinct these days, about the implications of that and biodiversity. What can we learn about our local biodiversity? What does it say about our local, perhaps, change in climate or change in, population areas? What can we learn about our area locally based on this precipitous fall in the population of Gunnison sage grouse? What are the local implications?
I think it reminds us of how vulnerable the species are within our basin as well as across the world. You've probably seen the studies recently that show the tremendous decline, right, in invertebrates and birds and so forth. It also reminds us to take care of the habitat. For decades, we looked at the shrub steppe, the sagebrush, as kind of a place that we could utilize for our dumps, right? Or your uranium mill tailings, recreation without stops and so forth. I can tell you that one thing I'm very proud of is that the Gunnison Basin for 25 years has shown a lot of care and consideration for the sagebrush steppe. So the Gunnison sage grouse has been kind of the canary in our mine that started 25 years ago before we've seen maybe as quickly changing climate conditions as we are now. And the stock growers, the recreationists, the county commissioners, the federal agencies, the state agencies, have the environmental groups, they have all sat down and worked really hard to find ways that the socioeconomic health of our valley could be matched by the ecological health of the species. It's still a real challenge. We've got cheatgrass coming in. It's a huge issue. Right? The drought, weather cycles seem to be more extreme. But if there was any place that I personally could spend my time, I was trying their best, this would be it.
You know, in talking about all these weather challenges and the conservation efforts that have been put in place, when do you decide we're fighting a losing battle? You know, we can mitigate man's impacts. Very difficult to mitigate the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, there's big picture conversations. We could talk about climate change and mitigation, but in the micro weather piece, you know, that is something that we don't have control of, but we can change just like we do individually. When it's a hard winter, we actually manage our households, our city in a different way. When it's a very dry period, we might go under water restrictions. We may have to start to apply that type of thinking to the recovery implementation strategies that the Fish and Wildlife Service is working on with communities. What do we do for the ecosystem that we would do at home, right? When we know that the water is low and the plants aren't going to grow, what do we do when it's a hard winter? Those are things that again, we need to be talking about and we need to execute.
Great, thank you.
I will mention, if I may, that there is going to be a festival in April and a summit for the Gunnison sage-grouse. It'll be the 25th year since our community started the planning process.
Wow.
So really looking forward to that.